Good morning. Today's daf Masechta Nun Tes. This is now the second daf of the fifth parak of the Masechta. We started yesterday with a discussion in the Gemara regarding the Karban Pesach and notably the timing. So we know on a daily basis there are two tamidim that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash, the Tamid Shal Shachar, the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, daily fixtures in the Beis HaMikdash. And we also know that under normal circumstances, generally what they do is they sandwich all the Karbanos Hayom, any carbon that's being brought on a daily basis, either voluntary carbon or Karbanos, obligatory Karbanos. They're going to be sandwiched between the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. That is an assumption that we worked with the entirety of yesterday's daf. Notable exceptions. Notable exception, of course, is Karban Pesach. Karban Pesach is going to be offered after the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, something that we're going to be discussing in more detail in today's daf. A couple of other notable exceptions, which we're also going to be discussing in today's daf. Yesterday, we spent the entirety of our day trying to schedule the day of Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach. Well, we know there's going to be Tamid Shal Shachar. We know there's going to be Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. We also know that there's going to be more than one Karban Pesach, right? Karban Pesach from every Jew, or at least from every group of Jewish people. So there are going to be hundreds, thousands, as we'll see later in the Masechta, over a million Karban Pesach that are going to be brought. So what's going to be the schedule? So yesterday, what we concluded in the Gemara is that the schedule is going to be that the Karban Pesach is going to be coming after the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim in terms of the hours of the day. So our conclusion yesterday, the simple conclusion of yesterday's daf, is that under normal circumstances, the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim is going to be shecht at 2:30 in the afternoon, and then finally offered at 3:30. It takes an hour for the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. On Erev Pesach, it's going to be bumped up an hour, 1:30, 2:30, 1:30 for shechting of the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, and 2:30 for the offering. And then the Karban Pesach is going to be offered after that. Basically, what we do is that we clear more room for the afternoon for the Karban Pesach. And then if Erev Pesach falls out in Erev Shabbos, so there we have to clear even more room. Because not only do people need to shech the Karban Pesach, but people also need to start to roast the Karban Pesach as well. So under those circumstances, the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim is going to go all the way up to 12:30 in the afternoon. And that's going to free up most of our afternoon for the Karban Pesach. That's what we went over yesterday's daf. Lengthy discussion yesterday, what happens when Erev Pesach falls down on Shabbos in terms of scheduling. So that was a big part of yesterday's daf. But anyway, that's a quick recap of yesterday. Tanu Rabbanan, we are continuing now in the Gemara. We are on Nun Ches Amud Beis. We are about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And the Gemara continues now with the Brayso. Minayin shelo yedaver kodem l'tamid shel shachar. So here the Brayso over here goes over basic drashos in terms of how we know that certain things just simply can't be. You can't bring a carbon before the Tamid Shal Shachar. So how do I know that? Tamalam avarech ala ha'ola. So the pasuk says regarding the Tamid Shal Shachar that you're going to be orech, you're going to organize on it ha'ola. Now ha'ola, so my Talmud, the Gemara says, okay, where exactly in that pasuk do we see that nothing can be offered before the Tamid Shal Shachar's? So amarava ha'ola, ola rishona. So the Gemara says, hey, ayidia. When it says ha'ola, the ola, so that means to say that it is specific. It is that ola which is going to come first to the exclusion of any other carbon ola. Okay. Okay, next basic drasha. How do I know that nothing can be offered after the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim? Tamalam viktir alah chalvei hashlamim. So the Gemara says, okay, we have another pasuk. Pasuk says that you are going to be burning on it chalvei hashlamim, the fats of a carbon shlamim. My Talmud of the Gemara says, once again, I don't see it. I see the pasuk. I don't see the drasha. So the Gemara is going to give two ways to understand how we got from the pasuk to the drasha. So I'm Rabbi Allah Shlamim v'lo al chaverta Shlamim. So on it is going to be Karmel Shlamim, but not on its chaverta, not on its friend, it's going to be Karmel Shlamim. What do you mean, it and its friend? The Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. So the Gemara is saying basically that what you see over here is after the Tamid Shal Shachar, so for that, you can bring Karbanos, specifically Karban Shlamim, but not after the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim, meaning only on it, on the morning one, but not Al Chaverta, not on its neighboring one, on its pair, meaning on the one in the afternoon. Okay, so that's Abai's understanding. So Maskal Farava, Sarava says, okay, but that's a challenging understanding because Eima Shlamim Hudalo Nakriv Ha'olos Nakriv. So the Gemara says, okay, so certainly I understand Shlamim, but not Olos. So meaning in the pasuk itself, you go back to the pasuk, v'yitir alech chalvei ha-shlamim. So shlamim have to be sandwiched between the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. What about a carbon ola? According to Abaye's drasha, there's nothing excluding the ola from being offered after the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. So Alam Rava Hashlamim, Allah Hashlem Kol Kabanas Kulan. So Rava says, okay, well, here's how we get from Pasuk to Drasha. Reading the Pasuk, it's Hashlamim. Now, although under normal circumstances, the words Hashlamim is a reference to Karban Shlamim, but Rava's understanding is Hashlamim is actually a contraction of the word Allah Hashlem. That with it, you're going to conclude, meaning once you bring the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, that's it. That's going to be the conclusion. That's going to be the closure of every day. The closing carbon of every day is going to be the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, which obviously means that after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, you can't offer any more carbonos. Okay, so far what we've established now, simple drushas that get us, well, not so simple, but drushas that get us to the point where no carbon is offered before the Tamashal Shachar, and no carbon is offered after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. Good. Now, like we know, with any rule, so there are going to be exceptions to the rule. And we already know that for the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, notable exception is going to be Karban Pesach. And now the Gemara in today's daf is going to be discussing if, in fact, there are going to be any other exceptions to this rule, then nothing can be offered after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. Tanur Rabbanan, we are two lines from the bottom. Nudches Amid Beis. Tamid Kodem LePesach, Pesach Kodem LeKtoros, Ktoros Kodem LeNeiros. Okay, and so here we have now a really short but simple brisa that describes what activities are going to be done after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. So after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, we bring the Karban Pesach. Now, obviously, that's only for one day of the year, but okay, on this one day of the year, so there's going to be a lot of activity after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. Number one, you bring the Karban Pesach. Okay, that's a lot of karbanos. And then Pesach, Kodem LeKtoros, and then after all the Karban Pesachs are brought, then the Ketoros is being offered. Ketoros is burnt, that's incense that's being burnt daily in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbech HaZav in the Heichal. So it's going to be burnt in the morning and in the afternoon. When in the afternoon? So according to the author of this price, it's going to be after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. And on Erev Pesach, it's going to be after the Karban Pesach. And then Ketoros Kodemus LeNeiros. And then after that, then you have the Neiros. Neiros are done after the Ketoros. Now, this particular order, so first of all, now we are describing three avodas that are being done after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. Good, so as a general rule, nothing is offered after the Tamashal Ben Arbayim. But now we're noting the notable exceptions is the Karban Pesach and the Ketoros and the Neiros. Now the Gemara is going to give an explanation. We're on the top of the Testament Aleph. Yuchar davashe namar bo ba'erev ubein ha'arbayim, ledavashe lo namar bo ba'erev ela bein arbayim bavan. So the Gemara's explanation is like this. Look at the way the Torah describes the Karban Pesach. Look at the way the Torah describes these other activities of the Tamashal Ben Arbayim and the Ketores and the Neiros. When the Torah describes the Karban Pesach, it not only says Ba'erev, but it also says Bein Arbayim. Rashi quotes the Psukim. Look, it's Parsha's bow. It's the right part. It's we're right on the right Parsha to be discussing these Psukim. So by the Karban Pesach, so we have the word Ba'erev. We also have the word Bein Arbayim. So that means to say that the Torah is telling us that for Karban Pesach, it's got to be later in the afternoon. Mashain came by the Tamashal Bein Arbayim. So the Torah over there is only using the description of Bein Arbayim. Good. So that's why Karban Pesach comes before the Tamashal Bein Arbayim. I'm sorry. That's why the Karban Pesach comes after the Tamashal Bein Arbayim. So Yahachi Ketoros Veneiros Nami Nikdamu LePesach. So the Gemara says, okay, so if that's true, so Ketoros and Neiros should also be coming before Pesach. Again, if everything's that following the way the Torah describes it, and since the Torah describes the Karban Pesach with terminology of both Ba'erev and Bein Arbayim, so Pesach should be really the last thing. And meanwhile, the Brisa says that the order is Tamashal Bein Arbayim, followed by Pesach, followed by Ketoros, followed by Neiros. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Put the Karban Pesach last. So the Gemara says, "Yuchar davishenem rabo ba'erev u'bein arbayim ledavishenem rabo ella bein arbayim bavad." Ketoros and Neiros. This is the Gemara's conclusion of the question. So if that's true, so the Ketoros and Neiros should come before the Karban Pesach. And again, the Karban Pesach is being described as ba'erev and bein arbayim. So it should really come last. So the Gemara says, "Shani hasam demi rachmana oso." The Gemara says, "Okay." So if it were just for terminology, so I'm with you. Meaning Karban Pesach really should be last. If it's just based on terminology of Bein Arbayim and Ba'erev, which is a description that is exclusive only to the Karban Pesach. However, the Gemara says there is something else to consider. And that is that by the Neiros, so we have another drasha, the drasha of Oso. What's that drasha regarding Neros? The Gemara goes on to describe. D'tanya, May Erev Ad Boker. So in the Torah's description of the in the Torah's description of the menorah, so the Torah says May Erev V'Ad Boker, that you're going to be lighting the menorah from night until morning. Simple way to understand is that the mitzvah of lighting the menorah is over the course of the night, and there's no mitzvah to light during the day. Right, we noted a number of times, Shitas Rambam, is that the menorah is going to be lit both during the night and it's also going to be lit again for the day. Not clear in the psukim that this is in fact so, but anyway, the simple way to say the to learn the Chumash, the simple understanding of the Gemara is that the lighting is only during the night. And over here, the based on the psukim, Parshas Tetzaveh, Me'erev Ad Boker, so you're lighting the menorah from the evening until the morning. So I'm sorry, Parshas Truma. Anyway, so Tainli Midasashite Dolakis Me'ervad Boker. So first of all, how much oil you have to put in? You have to put in enough oil where it's going to be lasting over the course of the whole night. Rashi over here describes Chatzi Lug L'chol Ner. Every lamp of the menorah is going to have a Chatzi Lug. And L'chal Aruch Shelo Yebo Kashir. Even the longest of the nights, even in the middle of the winter, that's going to be enough oil to carry you. And then in terms of another way we're going to understand the Pasuk Me'er Vad Boker, is that this is the only avoda that's going to be kshira from the evening until the morning. So that means to say that in terms of the mitzvah of menorah, so this is it. Meaning this is the avoda salayla. So my time, Amakra, Yerucha, so Aaron of Anav, Me'er Vad Boker. Oso Me'er Vad Boker, Ve'in Davar Acher, Me'er Vad Boker. So we know that when it comes to the Neros, so this should be it. Meaning our night, in terms of the Avoda, should be menorah and only menorah. Now it happens to be Ve'itkish Ketoros the Neros. And then we have a Hekesh of Ketoros the Neros, meaning in one Pasuk, the Torah describes the burning of the Ketoros and the burning of the menorah, the burning of the lights of the menorah. So that means to say now that by Neros we have this special drasha, that Neros is an avodah halayla. So that means to say that Neros you want to do the last part of the day, meaning that's the avodah that takes you into the night. So now what comes out is as follows. So now we can go back to the brisa and we could look at the order and now understand that it's all based on a collection of drashas. So on one hand, we have now the Tamash al-Bein Arbaim, which under normal circumstances is the last thing that is offered. For that, we have the drasha of on the bottom of the previous Amud. Aleha, this is Rav's understanding of the drasha, Aleha Shlein. Good. So we have that drasha that tells us Tamash al-Bein Arbaim is the last thing of the day. However, Karm Pesach is going to come after that. Why? Because God, by the Karm Pesach, the Torah has a description, not only by Erev, but Bein Arbaim. So the Be'er of Bayin Arbaim, that double language that's used for Karm Pesach, is telling me that it's offered after the Tamid Shel Bayin Arbaim. And then, on top of that, also, Ketoros and Neros are going to be coming after Karm Pesach. Why? Because we have another drasha when it comes to the Neros. Another drasha tells us that the Neros are the Avodas HaLaila, and so that means to say that the last thing that you do during the day that takes you into the night is going to be and is only going to be the Neros. Either Ketoros you're going to do in conjunction with the Neros, because we have a Hekesh with Ketoros and Neros. So it's going to be now, right? So just a recap of the Brisa. It's going to be Karm Pesach. I'm sorry. It's going to be the Tamash Shel Bein Arbaim, followed by Karm Pesach, followed by Ketoros, followed by Neros. Good. That's all Brisa number one of this morning. Tanya Kikushan, the Gemara now is going to present to us another Brisa. Now, Kikushan, the way the Gemara presents the Brisa is it's going to follow more the question than the answer. Meaning the Gemara previously, when citing the previous Brisa, so the Gemara had a question. The Gemara had an answer. So now the Gemara is going to say that we're going to learn a Brisa together that's really going to favor the question more than the answer. You'll see what I mean. So Tamid Kodem LeKetoros, Ketoros Kodemus LeNeros, and Neros Kodemus LePesach. So here in the second Brisa, the order is going to be Tamid, Ketoros, Neros, and Pesach. Pesach is going to be the last of the day. Now, how did the Brisa get over here? This Brisa got over here with the following. Yeuchar davish enamar bo be'eruvu bein arbaim, davish lo enamar bo ela bein arbaim bavad. So the Gemara says, yeah, because when the Torah's description of the Karm Pesach, it uses the words of be'eruv and bein ha'arbaim. Good. That shows us that when it comes to the Karm Pesach, it's really got to be the last thing of the day. Aye, so then, what about Neros and Ketoros? So, Neros and Ketoros, I'm going to put now between, I'm going to sandwich it between the Tamei Shalbein Arbaim and the Karban Pesach. So now, this Brice over here is really focused on the Drasha regarding the Karban Pesach of both Bairav and Bein Arbaim. Now, the Gemara says, V'haksiv Oso. Okay, the Gemara says, yeah, but the previous Brisa was also taking into consideration that when it comes to the Neros, the Torah says the word Zoso, which means that it has to be the last thing that's done during the day. It's the Avodas HaLaila. What are you going to do with that Drasha? So, hi, Oso Mibai Lelemute Avodas HaBifnim. So, the Mainiu Kitares. So, the Gemara says, no. Yes, we do have the Drasha of Oso, but Oso is just there to tell me that in the Heichal, meaning not in the Azar, not in the courtyard, not as it relates to Karbanos, but in the Heichal, Neros are the last Avoda. Well, how many Avodas are there in the Heichal? Answer, not a lot. There is Ketores and there is Menorah. So the Drush is just simply there to tell me that when you have Ketores and Menorah, so first you'll do the Ketores and then you'll do the Menorah. Sakadat chamina hol v'ksiv avalos aronos aneros bein arbaim yakti renam eima nadlik neros bereshav adon nakti Ketores. So here's what I would have thought. Without this Drush, I would have thought, let's read the Pasuk together. Pasuk says, Uva halos aronos aneros, good. So that would indicate that we light an air. And then, Bein Arbaim, Yakti Renu. And then what we're going to do is that we're going to burn Ketores. That's a simple pshat in the Pasuk. So if it were just for the Pasuk, I would have said, Neros Ketores. So, Ema Nadlik Neros Bereshav Hadon Nakti Ketores. So, Miyat Rachman Oso. Miyat Rachman Oso. So the Torah is telling us with the word Oso that the last Avoda of the day is going to be Neros. So now what we're going to do is that we're going to flip. So first you're going to do Ketores and then you're going to do Neros. So Ella Bein Arbaim Yakti Renu Lamali. So the Gemara says, so now we'll go back to the Pasuk. How are you reading the Pasuk? Meaning, once we've established that, first you're burning the Ketores and then you're going to do Menorah. So how do you understand the Pasuk? So Hachikamer, the Gemara says, here's how you understand the Pasuk. Hachikamer Rechmana. Be'idan demadlekes Neros tehei mikdara Ketores. So at the time when you're lighting the Neros, so that's the time when you're going to be Makta Ketores, meaning that they're coming in the same time frame. But in terms of the order is going to be first Ketores, then followed by Neros. Okay, so Brisa number two now has the Tamei Shalbein Arbaim, follow them by Ketores, follow them by Neros, follow them by Karban Pesach. Good. And really the second Brisa over here is really focusing much more on the fact that by Karban Pesach, the Torah says, Ba'erev and Bein Ha'arbayim. So since the Torah uses that double usher when it comes to the Karban Pesach, so that's going to be the last avoda of the day. And then in terms of the drasha regarding Neros, that's just Neros relative to Ketores. So when I put the two of them side by side, so first Ketores and Neros. That's what I darshan with the word Oso. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. We are now halfway down in the Testament Aleph, continuing in the Gemara, again, regarding scheduling an order of the day on Erev Pesach. Tana Rabbanan, Elecha Davi Shekodim Tama Shal Shachar, Ela Ketores Bavad. Shenem Rabba, Baboker, Baboker. So there is nothing that comes before the Tama Shal Shachar, with a notable exception to the Ketores. The Torah says, Baboker, Baboker. V'yuktam Ketores, Davishanemar, Baboker, Baboker. D'chsev, V'yiktirale Aaron, Ketores Tamim, Baboker, Baboker. L'davishalonemar, Bo, Ela Boker Echad. So when it comes to the Avodas of the morning, so the Ketores comes before the Tamei Shel Shachar. But again, it's a reflection of the Torah's description. When the Torah describes the Ketores of the morning, it uses the double language of Baboker, Baboker. Good. As opposed to Tamei Shel Shachar, which only uses the term Baboker. Ve'en lecha davishin etzakev achar Tamei Shel Bein Arbaim. And now, let's move to the afternoon. So this part of the Brisa, we know most of what's coming up, but there's going to be a new wrinkle. So what's going to come after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbaim? So we already know the list. It's a short list of those avodas that are coming after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbaim. Ela Ketores v'Neros u'Pesach. So Ketores, Neros, and Pesach, that we knew already, right? That's been our daf today. And on top of that, Mechusar Kippurim, v'Erev Pesach, Shetov v'Shenis, v'Ochas Pischo la'Erev. And I'll give you another exception. Another notable exception of a person, or I should say better, a carbon that's going to be offered after the Tamei Shel Bein Arbaim is going to be the following. Let's say a person's Mechusar Kippurim. So, Mechusar Kippurim, as an example, a Mitzorah. Another example, a Zav. Somebody who has to go through a Tahara process, and as part of the Tahara process, so they're going to go through 7 days of Tahara, And then after 7 days of Tahara, let's say it clear. On the seventh day of Tahara, they're going to tovel in the mikvah. That evening, they're going to be Tahor, mostly. However, the next day, the eighth day of the Tahara process, so they still are, they're still required to bring karbanos. And they're not allowed to eat karbanos themselves until they bring these karbanos. So let's say by Mitzara, let's use the Mitzara as an example. So the Mitzara is going to go through 7 days of Tahara process. Good. On the seventh day, he'll tovel in the mikvah. That night, he'll be Tahar, mostly. When I say mostly, by the way, he can, if he was a Kohen, he's allowed to eat Truma. Good. However, he is not allowed to go into the base of Mikdash nor eat Karbanos himself until he brings the Karbanos of the eighth day. The Karbanos of the eighth day, for the Mitzara, specifically for the Mitzara, it's going to be a Chatas, an Ola, and an Asham. Three Karbanos are going to be brought by our Mitzara on day number eight. Let's say now I have a Mitzara who's on day eight, and it happens to be that his day eight coincides with Erev Pesach. So now, obviously, he wants to eat Karban Pesach. He won't be able to eat Karban Pesach until he brings his own Karbanos. Now, when should he bring his own karbanos? So the best time to have done so would have been in the morning, meaning you have the entirety of the eighth day to bring it. And you know the afternoon, it's going to be pretty busy in the Beis HaMikdash that afternoon. So just as wonderful advice, so as simple advice, he should be bringing it in the morning. For whatever reason, he didn't bring it in the morning. So now it's the afternoon. Now, I don't know how he's going to get slotted in to bring his karbanos in the afternoon. The Karban Pesach of Klal Yisrael is obviously going to take precedence. But for a moment, if we could just at least entertain the idea that there's going to be a moment for him to offer it in the afternoon, and we're after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, so what now? Can he bring it now in the afternoon after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im? So according to this brisa that we're learning together, the answer is yes. Now, I just want to spend a moment going over the lashon of the brisa. The lashon of the brisa says, the lashon of the brisa says, the Pesach umechusa kippurim be'erev Pesach shetovel shenis v'ochos pischa l'erev. So the brisa over here is talking about eating it shenis, toveling for a second time. So in terms of toveling for a second time, so that just simply means as follows, is that, as we already pointed out, he toveled on day number seven. That's the tefillah, meaning that's the tefillah that is going to make him tahor. That tefillah coupled with Harav Shemesh that he has on the night after the seventh day. So what is he doing toveling again? So we learned that Chagiga Rashi over here quotes it, that on the day that he brings his karbanos for the Mechusa Kippurim, so he's going to be toveling a second time. So when the Bryce is talking about the tefillah on the second time, so good. I'm just giving more clarification that it's the second tefillah because the first tefillah was the one that was done on day number seven. Okay, good. That is the Bryce, but we're not done yet. The Bryce now is going to record one more opinion. Rabbi Yishmael, Benosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, Af Mechus Kippurim, B'Shar Yemos HaShana, Shetova V'Ocha B'Kashim La'erev. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, Benosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, so he says that this special halacha, this special dispensation of offering the Mechus Kippurim Karban, post the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, that's not only limited to Erev Pesach, that would be true year-round. You have any circumstance where you have your Mechus Kippurim, and he came late to the base of Mikdash on day eight, and now he wants to bring his Karbanos, the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im is already brought, so according to this, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so he could, he's still allowed to bring his Mechus Kippurim Karban. The Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Bishlam l'tanakam yavo ased de Pesach sheish bokares, v'yizche ased de ashlam ashem bokares. So the Gemara says, the Tanakam I understand. Meaning this dispensation that it's after hours, right? After his hours. You're not allowed to bring a Karban after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. It's an Isser Asay. Go back to the beginning of today's daf. Meaning we know by virtue of the fact that the Torah says, all karbanos have to be before the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, so that means to tell me that any karban cannot be. This is what's called a lav haba mechlal asay. It therefore falls under the category of an asay. What I can't do is based on what the Torah tells me what I have to do, so this falls under the category of an asay. Good. So not bringing a karban after the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im is what we call an iser asay. Okay, but on Erev Pesach, look, I understand that that's going to give. Why is that going to give? Because if he doesn't bring his karbanos of Mechus Kippurim, and he doesn't eat Karban Pesach, so we're looking at a possible Isser Kares. Now, it gets a little bit more detailed over here because obviously, if he's in a state of tumah, so then he could just simply be pushed off to Pesach Sheni. But you understand what the Gemara is saying is that carbon Pesach is a type of carbon where failure upon eating it could result in a Isser Kares. So I understand an Erev Pesach. It's after the Tam Shal Bein Arba'im, but still what you're going to do is you're going to be offering his Mechusar Kippurim Karbanos. That is simply, it's more important, right? The Gemara is saying that. It's more important than the Isser Asay of Ashlama. Ela the Rabbi Shlom, but no Shah Rabbi Yochanan Broka. So my Umadai Asay, my Asay. But remember, according to Rabbi Shmuel, so you could do it on any day. It doesn't have to be Erev Pesach. So on any day, on any given day, after the Tam Shal Bein Arba'im, along comes Dar Mitzora. So he went through the Tahara process. He went through the 7 days. Today's day 8. And now he's coming with Karbanos in tow. And now, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to offer it. There's an assay of Ashlama. You're not allowed to bring a carbon after the Tam Shal Bein Arba'im. Now, yes, he has his own assay to become Tahor. But okay, but on Erev Pesach, I understand. The carbon Pesach is just simply more important. It has within Isser Kares. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about Stam, his ability to eat a carbon. I don't understand how that is going to take precedence over the Isser of Ashlama. So the Gemara is going to try to respond. Am Ravina, Am Rav Chista. So remember now what we're attempting to do. We're trying to defend Rabbi Yishmael. Meaning, obviously, the Tanakhama doesn't agree with this approach, but at least we're trying to defend Rabbi Shmuel. How could it be Stam on any given day, so you're allowed to violate the Isra of Ashlama just because the person's in Mechusar Kippurim? So, Am Ravina, Am Rav Chista, Acha Bechatas, Alfaskinen She'elam Mizbech Al Adama. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the carbon that's left for him to bring is only the carbon Chatas. Right? Again, let's assume that we're talking about a Mitzorah over here. Mitzorah's got three carbonas that he needs to bring, Chatas, Asham, and an Ola. And if our Mitzorah is poor, so then the chatas that he's going to bring is a bird, as is the ola is also going to be a bird. The carbon ashram is not going to be a bird. As I mentioned already, there's a lot of seder kachim that we have to know in order to really appreciate this section of Pesachim over here. If you know it already, great. And if not, so admittedly, it's just a lot of information, but okay. So for our mitzora, who's a dal, who's poor, so the chatas is going to be a bird. The ola is going to be a bird, and the asham is going to be an animal, a regular animal. So, but what the Gemara is suggesting now is that we're not going to be violating the Isser of Ashlama because the chatas in question over here is going to be a bird. And you know, when it comes to the bird, you're not burning the bird on the mizbeach. All you're doing is just sprinkling the blood of the bird on the mizbeach. That's just simply the nature of the chatas of. So the Gemara says, in Rav Papa Amar, afilu tema bechatas behema. So, and Rav Papa says, you don't have to say that. We could be talking about a regular mitzorah who can afford an animal. And here's what we're going to say. Ma'ale umelina berosh hashem mizbeach. So what you're going to do is the following. What you'll do is that even though it's after the Tam Shal Bein Arba'im, so you'll shecht it, you'll sprinkle the blood, and you'll bring it onto the and you'll bring it on top of the mizbeach. And by bringing it on top of the mizbeach, that will solve our problem. Remember, what's our problem? So we're trying to balance over here. He wants to bring karbanos so that he would be able to he himself would be able to eat his own karbanos. So on the other hand, it's after the Tam Shal Bein Arba'im. You're not allowed to burn anything on the Mizbech after the Tam Shal Bein Arba'im. So what the Gemara now is suggesting, this is now Rav Papa's solution, is that we're talking about a chatzis of an animal. You'll shecht it, you'll sprinkle it on the Mizbech. And as far as the meat is concerned, so what we'll do is that we'll just simply put it on the top of the Mizbech and we'll leave it over there for tomorrow. Now, isn't it tomorrow going to be disqualified? So here we get to another detail. Rashi over here cites it that any carbon that is sitting on the top of the mizbeach becomes immune to the disqualification of lina. Okay, good. So that is right now the Gemara's suggestion. The Gemara says vaika asham. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the carbon asham as well? So So bishlam l'Rav Papa hainu d'malin la. So the Gemara says, yeah, but for Rav Papa's solution, the chatas you just simply shelf on the top of the mizbeach. So I'll do the same thing with the Karban Hashem as well. So Ela Rav Chista Michael Amemar, but according to Rav Chista, that's going to be very difficult because Rav Chista, remember, his answer was, we're talking about a poor Mitzara and his Chatas is a bird. So the Gemara says, the Gemara's bothered. Your Chatas is a bird, but your Hashem has to be an animal. So the Gemara says, "Amr shikar v'ashamo." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe we're talking about a scenario where his carbon ashram has already been offered." Okay, va'ika ola. The Gemara says, "Okay, but let's not forget about the carbon ola as well." V'chitema ola lo ma'akva. Now you'll tell me, maybe the ola is not ma'akev, meaning that maybe he'll get his kippurim, his tahara, just by offering the chatas without offering the ola. The Gemara says, "But it's not true." V'atanya Rabbi Shimon ben Osho Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer kishem she chatasov v'ashama ma'akva noso kach ola so ma'akva so. When it comes to the mitzora, his tahara is only coming when all three karbanos are being offered. You need to offer the chatas, the ashram, the ola. All three of them need to be offered in order for him to receive his tahara. Now, v'chite mekabishikar v'ola so. So the Gemara says, so maybe I know what. So here's what we'll suggest. That he offered his ashram already. He offered his ola. And the only thing that he needs to offer is his chatas. And it's the only karban that is being offered after the tamashal ben arbaim. The ola and the ashram have already been offered before the tamashal ben arbaim. Now, yes, at this point in time, we are twisted into a real pretzel. Meaning that the case that we're trying to figure out over here is how can our mitzvah be offering a karban after the tamashal ben arbaim? And now here's where the Gemara is in terms of a twisted pretzel. We are talking about where he offered already his ola before the tamashal ben arbaim, as he also already offered his asham, and the chatzis now is after the tamashal ben arbaim. What about the isra of ashlama? Well, he's a poor mitzora, and because he's a poor mitzora, therefore his chatzis is only a bird. And you know, when it comes to the chatzis ha'of, so it doesn't go up onto the mizbech. The blood is sprinkled on the mizbech, but it doesn't go onto the mizbech. This is all what the Gemara is proposing, and admittedly, it gets complicated. Umi karva olasa kodim lechataso rishon. But now the Gemara is going to say, but you know what? Even in this complicated situation scenario, it's simply not going to work out. You don't offer the ola before the chatas. The Gemara says, I'll tell you how I know that. V'atani will enter the price of ikir v'esasher lechatas rishona. So the Torah describes. In terms of a person offering his chatas and ola, you bring the chatas first. The Torah already tells me that in a chatas ola combination, the chatas comes before the ola. So ve'es hasheni yaseh ola kamishpat elazeh banav lechol chatoshi kademus lechol olos habos imahem. So what we have over here is a binyanav. Anytime you have a chatas ola combination, I know what the order is. The order is first chatas and ola. And even in the scenario where in my chatas ola combination, the chatas is a bird, the ola is an animal. Maybe I would have thought that the ola is being an animal. So the fact that it's an animal is going to take it over the top. The Gemara says nothing doing. Chatas always comes before an ola. So now when the chatas comes before the ola, so now we're stuck. So now your chatzis has to come before the ola. So that means that for our mitzora, even though his chatzis is a bird chatzis, but there's no way that the ola could have been offered before. It has to be offered afterwards. So if the chatzis is being offered after the tamashal ben arbaim, so is the ola. And if the ola is being offered after the tamashal ben arbaim, where you're going to have to offer the ola up onto the mizbech. And the ola is going to be offered up onto the mizbech after the tamashal ben arbaim, you can't do that. So the Gemara's response, Amar Rav Shani Ola's Mitzora, Derechmana Amar, Ve Ha'ola, HaKohen Es Ha'ola, Shehel HaKvar. So what the Gemara is suggesting now is that, this is Rav's suggestion, is that when it comes to the Mitzora, so maybe this could be a bit of a rule breaker. Maybe the Ola can in fact come before the Chatas. Okay, so that was admittedly a complex section of the Gemara today, where the Gemara is trying to understand the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, meaning to organize everything really well. We have a Braisa that tells us what can be done after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. So the Braisa says, like we said in the beginning of today's shiur, only the Karban Pesach, the Ketores, the Menorah, that is going to be done, that's going to be after Tamashal Ben Arbaim. And according to the Tanakhama, if I have my Mechusi Kippurim, who would have, for whatever reason, delayed the bringing of his Karban, his day A comes out to be Erev Pesach, and he delayed his bringing of his carbon, and now it's the afternoon, and now it's after the Tamid Shabbat Arbaim. So can he bring his Mechusa Kippurim Karbanos after the Ben Arbaim? So according to the Tanakhama, yes, but only on Erev Pesach, because we're talking about his ability to eat the Karban Pesach, and that's going to trump the Isra of Ashlama. Good. And now, what we just spent the last 10 minutes trying to figure is that there was another opinion, that notably of Rabbi Shmuel, but no sure of Yochanan Broka, who said that that's not only true by our Mechusa Kippurim and Erev Pesach, that would be true for Mechusa Kippurim on any given day. And the Gemara is trying to figure out, well, how can that be? On any given day, you have the Isser Asay of Hashlama, no carbon is allowed to be brought after the Tamshah Ben Arbaim. And now he wants to eat Karbanos. Good, so he has a Mitzvah Asay. So he wants to eat Karbanos. So the Gemara says, that's lovely, that's wonderful, but why give credence of one, why give more strength to one Isser Asay over another Isser Asay? Or in this case, a Mitzvah Asay. But why? By the Karban Pesach, I know why. Because the Asay of Karban Pesach has within Isser Kares. But Stam, a regular Mitzvah of eating Karban, why should one Asay trump the other one? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara has really fundamentally two answers. Answer number one, the answer of Chista, is that you'll shecht all the karbanos, but you're not going to burn them, you'll shelf them. Now, generally speaking, you can't shelf a karban, because by tomorrow morning it's going to be pasul. That's the psul of lina. But what the Gemara is suggesting is that you shelf them. What this is the answer of Ravina and Rav Chista, is that what you're going to do is you're going to shelf it. No. It's the answer of Papa. You'll shelf it on the top of the Mizbeach. Where there, it will become immune from the psul of lina. Good. That is one approach. And the second approach, with this really complicated approach, is that the Rabbi Shmuel's position is talking about an extraordinarily limited scenario where we're talking about where our Mitzorah offered already his Chatas. Sorry. He offered already his Ola. He offered already his Asham. The only thing left that he has to bring is a Chatas. We're talking about a bird Chatas where it's not going to be burnt on the Mizbech. The only thing you're doing is sprinkling the blood on the Mizbech. That's the scenario in which we're describing. Okay, admittedly, a complicated answer, but one that does work. Continuing in the Gemara, we are on the top of the of Nun Tesamud Beis. So the Gemara says, look, this suggestion of Rav Papa, that we're gonna shelf all these carbonates, we're gonna just simply put them onto the Mizbeach. Now, you're really just, all you're doing is you're inviting trouble. So you're just leaving carbonates on the top of the Mizbeach. One of the Kohanim are going to burn it. You have a Kohen going up onto the Mizbeach, sees meat that's not been burnt on the Mizbeach, figured, okay, must have been a carbon from today. I don't know. And he's going to end up burning it. And the Gemara says, and you really think that this is a smart idea? So I'm or like, Kohanim's reason, Hain. So the Gemara says, okay, generally speaking, yeah. Right, in our houses, I'll speak about my own house. So you leave something around, so someone's gonna pick it up, whatever. So people aren't careful, but the Gemara says, but the Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash, if we have this really extraordinary case where, I have, a Mitzorah who's bringing Karbanos after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and what he wants to do now is he wants to offer the Karbanos, but you can't burn the Karbanos because, again, it's after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim. So under these circumstances, so what we're going to do is we're going to shelf it. And because we're in the Beis HaMikdash and because the Kohanim are really careful, shelfing it won't lead to a problem. So Amalei Rav Asher, Rav Kanav, Amalei Rav Huna, Berei, Rav Nosson, Rav Papa, V'hakama, D'lam, Mitzkatrei, Imur, and Kohanim, L'mati, Achle, Basar. So the Gemara says, now wait one second, I'm still not convinced that this solution is a good solution. Because consider, says the Gemara, you don't burn the imurim of our karbanos of the mitzorah. If you don't burn the imurim of the karbanos of the mitzorah, so what does that mean? It means that the Kohanim are not eating their portion of the karbanos. Now, here's what we know. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Yochel Yekohanim Rishayim, Bechaz V'Shok Konim Aktarsim Morim. I might have thought that the Kohen is allowed to eat the portion of the Chaz V'Shok before the offering of the Imurim of the parts of the carbon that go up onto the Mizbech, Tamalamar, V'Iktira Kohen Esachel V'Mizbech, V'Hadav V'Hayah Chazel Aaron Ulevanav. So we know that there is a sequence, and the sequence is really clear. And that is, first you offer the Imurim onto the Mizbech, then the Kohanim eat their share of the carbon. And now the Gemara is going to bring us to our problem, our dilemma. The Kamad de Kohanim lo achle basar, balam lo miskapre. And we know that if the Kohanim are not eating their portion of the carbon, so then the owners are not going to be receiving a kapara. Ditanya vachlu osam asher kupar bahem alam asher Kohanim ochlim, u balam miskaprim. Kapara only comes about only when the Kohanim are eating their share of a carbon. So the Gemara says, so the shelfing concept. So on one hand, I understand that you didn't violate the Isra of Hashlama, but you didn't achieve your goal. The goal was to provide a kapara for our Mitzorah. And now, our Mitzorah doesn't have a kapara. Because although he brought his karbanos on day 8, but remember, because it's after the Tam Shal Ben Arbaim, so we didn't burn anything. And what we're doing is now we're shelving it for tomorrow. But the Gemara says, okay, but if you're shoving it for tomorrow, our Mitzorah did not achieve a Kapara. Because the Kapara only comes about when? So what the Gemara now is saying is that it comes only when the Kohanim are eating their share of the carbon. Well, they're only going to be eating their share of the carbon after the burning of the Imurim. But you didn't burn the Imurim. So you didn't burn the Imurim. The Kohanim didn't eat their share of the carbon. Our Mitzorah did not achieve Kapara. So what was the point of all that? So Armalei came into Lefshar Asun Kamisha Nitmu Shavdu. So the Gemara says, okay, but the Gemara says that this obviously is an extenuating circumstance. This is going to be similar to the carbon becoming tamei or the carbon getting lost. Did Tanya? We learned in another brisa. Yachol Nitmu Imurim Shavdu Lo Yekohanim Zakayim Bechazav Ashok. Let's say the Imurim were lost, or let's say they become tamei. I might have thought that under those circumstances, the Kohanim are not allowed to eat Chazav Ashok. Tamalomer Vaya Chazel La'aron Levanav Mikamakom. So we have a pasuk that tells us that under these circumstances, extenuating circumstances, the Kohanim are allowed to eat Chazav Ashok. So the Gemara is saying that this also is going to fall under a similar type of extenuating circumstance. Okay. That kind of takes us to the end, not of the daf. We just have a little bit more to get to. We're going to get to the Mishnah. But in the meantime, however, that covered it. So the Gemara now has given a extraordinarily intricate, a really elaborate explanation of this shita of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that not just on Erev Pesach, but on any given day, where the Mechusar Kiparim finds himself in the Beis HaMikdash on day 8 with his karbanos, but it's after the Tam Shal Bein Arbaim. So can he now bring his karbanos? That would be a violation of the Isser of Hashlama. In the beginning of today's daf, we learned that there's an Isser. No carbon is allowed to be offered after the Tam Shal Bein Arbaim. Again, notable exceptions, carbon Pesach and the Ketores and the Menorah, but that's it. But so can our Mitzorah offer his carbonos after the Tam Shal Bein Arbaim? So again, on Erev Pesach, the answer is yes, because of the severity of the carbon Pesach. But on Stam, a regular day, Tana Kama says no, and Rabbi Shmuel says yes. He can. Now, in terms of the Gemara's question, I don't understand. His ability to eat carbon is a mitzvah seseh. His bringing of a carbon after the Tam Shal Bein Arbaim, that's going to represent another Isser Aseh. Why is one Isser Aseh any better or any worse than another Isser Aseh? So the Gemara just gave an extraordinarily elaborate answer in terms of how it would be possible, it could be possible for our Mitzorah to bring his karbanos, achieve his kapara, and not violate the Isra of Hashlama. Okay, admittedly, right, a difficult section of today's daf, as it really takes a number of issues into account. Okay, before we finish up, by the way, just a broader idea to explore for just a moment. Go back to the Amud Aleph of today's daf. The Amud Aleph of today's daf. So we're basically, right, the entire Gemara today is really revolving around when I have one essay against another essay, right? Very similar to the concept of when I have a los essay and an essay. So we know that an essay is doch a los essay, that under general circumstances, a positive commandment is going to override a negative prohibition. Good. So, essay dochalos assay. So similarly over here, an essay and another essay. Now, when they're on equal footing with one another, it's just tam an essay and another essay. So what the Gemara has been trying to navigate for the last, 30 lines, right? So basically since the bottom of the previous amud, is that there's no way to really gauge which one is more important than the other. And so therefore, whatever comes first is going to be the dominant essay. But if I have like an essay, let's say, for example, of Karban Pesach, so that's a more important essay, and that's for sure going to be overriding the essay of Hashlama. Good. Tosfos over here, Tosfos on the Amud Aleph, Nuntes Amud Aleph. So Tosfos says, whenever we talk about an essay to being dochalos assay, so what's rule number one? Rule number one of essay dochalos assay, it has to be be'idna, it has to be at the same time. And the only way that a positive commandment can trump a negative prohibition is only if they're coming simultaneously. Like the mitzvah of tzitzis and the isser of shatneis, where if they're coming simultaneously, the essay is going to be dochalos assay. Over here, let's think this through. He's going to be offering his karbanos of the mechusar kippurim of his mitzorah, so that later today he could be eating his karban pesach. It's not be'idna. The violation of Hashlam is coming when he's offering his karbanos of mechusar kippurim, and the mitzvah of eating karban pesach will be coming only later that night. Now, yes, it's true. He won't be able to eat the karban pesach until he brings the karbanos of mechusar kippurim. But it's not be'idna, it's not the same time. And so Tosfos asks a wonderful question. Why, by essay dochalos assay, it has to be be'idna? That's rule number one. But when I'm matching an essay against another essay, and in our case, a more important essay, so why over here are the Gemara not worrying about be'idna, that it has to be at the same time? So if I could just say for you a line of Tosfos, really interesting. So Tosfos writes over here, Nun Tesamad Aleph, so Veri Mitar, it's right in the middle of the Tosfos of Essay De Pesach Dis Bekaris Vedachi. So he writes, Veri Mitar, it's the Dafka Belosa Asse De Chamer Be'inan Be'idna, De Ma'akar Lav De Lekayim Asse. So when I have a los assay against an assay, so a los assay is really powerful. It's a law in the Torah. It's really powerful. And the only ability that the assay has to override the los assay if they're coming simultaneously. Good. Ava assay de chamer, dachi assay hakal, bechol inyan. However, over here, what's the fight over here? The fight is one assay against another assay. But clearly, in this ring, one essay is stronger. The essay of Karban Pesach is stronger. Because again, it carries with it the punishment of kares. So over here, Sotoso says, it's not much of a fight. Meaning, if it's an essay, los essay, that's a fair fight. And the only way that essay is going to win that fight is only if it's coming simultaneously. But an essay against another essay, where you have a dominant essay, so there Toso says, it's such a lopsided match, that the stronger essay is going to win, even if it doesn't come at the same time. Right? Really interesting idea. I feel a lomikayim essay chamor beidna de kaaver asay akal. Good. And Tosfos quotes a Gemara in Gittin that speaks to this idea as well. Anyway, really interesting idea in terms of matchups between essay versus los assay, essay versus another essay. Okay. Let's quickly finish up on our daf. We have just a couple of stiras. Rav Kahana, we're in the middle of Nuntes Amud Beis. Rav Kahana, Ramik Siv. Lo yalin chelav chagi ad boker. So the Torah says that the chelav is not allowed to be left until the morning. Ad boker hu de lo yalin hakol alayla kulo yalin. So that means to say that the chelav is left overnight. Chelav just simply means the parts of the carbon. Uksiv veiktir alecha ve'eshlamim. So and meanwhile, the Torah says that you're going to burn Allah Chavashlemim, Allah Ashlem, Kola Karbanos Kulan, right? The beginning of today's daf. Meaning that the last carbon that can be burnt is only going to be the Tamash Shabbain Arbayim. So it sounds like over here that nothing can be burnt afterwards. So Humosalavu Mefarikla Kishni Tarsru. So the Gemara says that's correct. Meaning that if you haven't started the Hakrava process, So you can't start a hakrava process after the tamid shel bein arba'im. But once it started, and now what we're talking about is nitosu, you have leftover, so that could be burned even after the tamid shel bein arba'im. Good. Ramile Rav Safra l'Rav. So the Gemara now goes over another seemingly stira. Ksiv the pasuk says lo yalan leboker zevachag haPesach. So at the end of Parshas Kisisa, it says that you're not allowed to eat to leave over to the morning the Karban Pesach. So laboker hu delo yalan hakol alayla yalan, which means that overnight you're allowed to leave it. V'haksiv, now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Ola Shabbos b'Shabbatov, ola schol b'Shabbos, v'lo ola schol b'Yomtov. Now what are we proposing over here? That we're going to be burning the remaining Karban Pesach on Yomtov itself? You're not allowed to do that. Meaning the Karban Pesach was offered when? On the 14th. That was a Yom Chol. Yes, we've discussed it in the previous perek extensively. How Erev Pesach has a quasi-Yontav aspect to it. But it's quasi-Yontav. It's not Yontav. And so what are we describing over here? We're describing over here the burning of a Karban Pesach, the leftovers of the Karban Pesach on Yontav itself. You can't do that. So the Gemara says, and meanwhile, from the previous pasuk, it sounds like you can do that. So Amalei Kvaram Yaniyalei Rav Abba Barchia LeRabbi Abahu. So he says, okay, good. Good question, but it's an old question. It's already been discussed. And Vishani Lane's answer is Hachabar Basa Shechalios B'Shabbos Haskinan. No, that's talking about where the 14th comes out in the Shabbos. Dechav V'Shabbos Kraven B'Yontav. Because now, what is this considered? It's considered Chelav of Shabbos. Right? It's a little bit of a stretch, meaning Chelav of a carbon that's brought on Shabbos. Yes, it's a carbon that's brought on Shabbos, but it's not a Shabbos carbon. It's the Karban Pesach. But because it coincides with Shabbos, so we're able to call it Chelve Shabbos. It's a Chelv of Shabbos. It's a carbon of Shabbos. And that could be offered on Yontav. So Amalei Mishum Dechav Shabbos Krevim Yontav. Ana Nekov and Amalei Dehai Krab Arbasa Shecholios B'Shabbos. Who Dechsiv? So he says, okay. That was an ingenious answer. But just because you have a creative answer, you're now going to tell me that that's Pshat in the Pasuk? So Amar Lei, and his response is, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Shavke lekra dehu dachik umukim anafshe. So he says, yeah, it is a creative answer. And I am going to put that into the Pasuk. Otherwise, do you have another suggestion? Meaning, you're not allowed to burn a carbon of chol on a yantiv. So if you have another suggestion, that's great. I don't have another suggestion. So that's why I'm going to tell you that the Pasuk's talking about specifically a scenario where Erev Pesach coincides with Shabbos. So now that Karban Pesach is not only a Karban Pesach, but it's also Chelvei Shabbos. That you are allowed to burn on Yontif. Okay, good. So that deals with that stira as well. Okay, recap. We started this morning by first establishing that no carbon is allowed to be offered prior to the Tamashel Shachar, no carbon is allowed to be offered after the Tamashel Ben Arbaim. They are going to be the bookends of all carbonos on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash. And we had drushos for both of them. Then the Gemara noted notable exceptions. Bottom of Nunchesamad Beis, taking us to the top of Nunchesamad Aleph, the notable exceptions of those avoda activities that are going to be done after the Tamashel Ben Arbaim. What's going to be burnt after the Tamashel Ben Arbaim? 3 notable exceptions. 1, Ketores. 2, Neros. 3, Karban Pesach. Now, in what order after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im? So we had 2 brisas this morning. 1 brisa taught us that the order was Tamid Pesach, Ketores, Neros. A 2nd brisa taught us that the order was Tamid, Ketores, Neros, Pesach. I know I said that really quickly. I wrote it down in my Gemara. Good. Right? Cheating's allowed. On Nun Tes Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud, so then we did a Braisa. And in the Braisa, we went over these exceptions of things that are burnt after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. And then we also added that there is another notable exception, and that is our Mechusar Kippurim. Let's say, for an example, a Mitzora, whose day A comes out on Erev Pesach. He should have brought his Mechusar Kippurim Karbanos in the morning. He didn't. He waited until the afternoon. It's after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. So according to the Tanakama of our Braisa, yes, he can bring his Mechusar Kippurim Karbanos after the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im. He's violating an Aseh in doing so, an Isser Aseh in doing so, but to be Mekayim, the Mitzvah Aseh of Achilas Karban Pesach, which is an Isser Karetz, and it's just simply going to be more, it's more pressing. It's more important. And then the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, which really occupied a lot of our daf today, Rabbi Shmuel says, that's not true just on a Stam for our Mechusi Kippurim. Sorry, that's not just true for our Mechusi Kippurim and Erev Pesach. That will also be true for our Mechusi Kippurim year-round. On any given day, after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim, you could bring it as well. There, the Gemara struggles. The Gemara says, I don't understand. That's just a simple assay against another simple assay. There's nothing is more pressing than the other. And since the assay of Hashlama came first, so that's going to take precedence. The Gemara says, I really don't understand this position of Rabbi Shmuel. Beno shel Rabbi Yochanan Broka. And what the Gemara did from Nuntes Amud Aleph, well into Nuntes Amud Beis, is that the Gemara tried to defend this position. How does it work? And the Gemara really gave a number of intricate, complicated answers in terms of how could it possibly work. And then the Gemara concluded today with a couple of drashas. We do seem to have a pasuk that indicates that burning can be done even after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim, but the Gemara says, yeah, but that's nitosru. That's if it's leftover. Meaning, if I started the burning before the Tamashal Ben Arbaim, and there's just simply more burning to be done, that could be done after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. But there could be no initial hakrava after the Tamashal Ben Arbaim. That's one point. And the second point is that the Karm Pesach, anything left over can be burnt on Yontif. Can be burnt on Yontif? You can't burn it on Yontif. That seems to be a violation of the taking chol, a carbon chol, and burning it on Yontif. You're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara gives an ukimta, right? A creative ukimta that we're talking about where Pesach fell on Shabbos. So now it's Chelvei Shabbos, which now you're allowed to burn on Yontif. Okay, creative answer. The Gemara noted that sounds like a really creative answer. But the Gemara says that's how we'll say it.